This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This episode is brought to you by the Great American Magic Company, purveyors of fine magic. I thank you, Eric Citron, for being a sponsor here on the Magic Word Podcast, and for also offering a free gift to all the friends of the Magic Word who order something from thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com now through September the 3rd, which will be this Labor Day. And so it's kind of a Labor Day special that he's got going on that is available to those of you who are friends of the Magic Word. And if you're not, now is another good reason why that you should go and join. There are lots of nice little perks that you get for becoming a member, and a sustaining member in particular, if you make just a one-time donation, or if you can be a sustaining member and pledge, then you get a lot more stuff, because we love you. And so does the GreatAmericanMagicCompany.com. Well, good morning or good afternoon. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And you hear a little bit of road noise in the background. That's because, yep, we're hitting the road. We're on the way to Frisco, Texas, which is a suburb just north of Dallas for the Texas Association of Magicians Convention. And we are departing Houston. For those of you who are concerned, let me just tell you, yes, that we have had devastating floods here. Thankfully that our home was spared. We didn't have any kind of flooding. Our house was dry. All was well. Not so for tens of thousands of other residents. You know, out of 4 million people, it seems like one out of 100 must have been affected some way or another. And it's really not all over. Although the rain has passed, we now have just some flooding issues that are different parts of town, and that's going to be released into certain bayous, which will cause some additional flooding and perhaps into some residential areas. And that's something that I still have a little bit of concern about, being just a few blocks away from a major bayou that serves the downtown area. It's called the Buffalo Bayou. But be that as it may, we have secured the house, we've taken off, and we are now northbound for Dallas, and curious to see what this adventure is going to bring us from the standpoint of whether we're going to be having any road closures. Right now we are just a few miles from the house, and everything is dry and traffic is moving as it would on a normal day. But a few things. First of all, this of course is a holiday weekend. In the U.S. we are celebrating the what's called Labor Day weekend, so we get off this next Monday. That's one of the reasons that they always hold the TAOM, Texas Association of Magicians Convention, on that weekend. So anyhow, we have typically just see a lot of traffic that is out and about. In this particular case, I'm wondering, because there are some people who had planned on traveling who may not be because of staying home and trying to take care of their problems. Different people have, whether they've got flooding situations or having, no vehicles. It could be their cars have been flooded. Beyond that, some of the roads then on major thoroughfares have been flooded. But as I said, right now it looks like things are open and flowing. The other thing is, I would imagine, if anything, since again it would be a holiday weekend when a lot of people are traveling both ways, north and south, from Houston to Dallas and from Dallas to Houston, that I would think there would be fewer people going out of Houston and more people coming out of Dallas. And I think that's the case from what I've heard, is that the issue is that we have a lot of people coming in, thankfully, who are volunteering from not only in Houston to help others, but also just from across all over the surrounding region, and coming down from Dallas and elsewhere to assist with our with the flooding problem, to help their fellow Houstonians, fellow Texans down here. So we certainly thank all the volunteers who have been coming in and helping. And during the flooding, we had so many people who were coming in and bringing their flat-bottom boats and canoes and life rafts and anything they could to try to help rescue people who were stranded in their homes and sitting on the rooftops. You've seen a lot of the devastation on the television, on the network news and the newspapers and elsewhere. I had posted a few live streaming videos on my Facebook timeline. So those of you who want to go over and take a look at that, you can kind of see each day some of the updates I did near the bayou to show what that was like, but also what the grocery stores were like, where they were starting to run out of food. Well, again, things are starting to back up. We started with mail service yesterday, so the post offices are open around town and making mail delivery. And the grocery stores are starting to get restocked on their shelves. Now, one of the major issues is that I'm thinking also that why we may not see so much traffic is because of gasoline shortages. Now, that's happening right now as we speak, that in Dallas, as I understand it, that a lot of the stations are running out of gas and have closed because they're out. And I don't know what the gas prices are doing, but I think that for the most part, it's probably going nowhere but up, and it's too bad it happens to be on a holiday weekend, but that's usually the case. But in this case, as I understand it, from across the country, prices have already spiked about 15 cents. I think I've heard pricing in Dallas for gas at some places has been close to $3 per gallon. I'm not sure what that comes to per liter, but it's a lot. So nevertheless, it seems like that it has gone up, and the reason for that is, for those who are interested, the Port of Houston is the second largest port in the United States, the first one being the Port Authority, or the port in New York. And the second one is right here in Houston. So we have a lot of oil tankers that can't get in to the refineries to process the gas. And many of the gas processing plants have suffered flooding situations, and so they are shut down. As a result, there is just a nationwide shortage because they can't get the oil in, they can't process the gasoline, and they can't pump the gas up to where it needs to go. So as a result, we're just seeing a lot of shortages nationwide, and again, supply and demand just would necessitate the higher pricing. It's just the way that it works. So, you know, we filled up here, and the price I filled up yesterday was $2.059, about $2.06 per gallon. But as we head on north, we're going to probably stop somewhere along the way before we get to Dallas to try to top it off before we get into Dallas. Dallas is approximately 250 miles north of Houston, so we should be there just in 4 or 5 hours to Frisco. So anyhow, that's nothing to do with magic, but everything to do with Houston and kind of our anticipation and what we're going to be seeing. And the next time you hear a report from me, then I'll let you know kind of how the trip was, or if we're having some other issues along the way, I'll let you know that too. But again, as we're heading north of town, looks like traffic is flowing as usual. I mean, I'm doing the speed limit, so and coming both north and south, looks like everything is well. So hopefully my next report then will be in Frisco, and we'll kind of see how it's going to be going, because I'm excited about this convention as I am for every convention. I know this is going to be a good one. Got a lot of great talent that is booked. Gregory Wilson and Christian Catalina, Nathan Phan, the list goes on. There are several people who have never attended the TAOM, so the registrants may never have seen some of these performers nor lecturers. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that this evening's show, Friday night show, is going to feature both Gregory Wilson and the team of Christian and Catalina. So it should be good then as well. So we will see how things go, and once we get up there, what the attendance is like. I'm wondering how that is going to be impacted by perhaps some lower attendance from those from the South Texas region that have been affected, who won't be able to make it. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll let you know how the convention goes by the numbers once we get up there. So that's about all there is to report right now. Seeing pretty much a cloudless sunny sky. So until we get to Frisco, or maybe sooner, this is Scotty out. Right, well, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we have finally made it to Dallas. No problem whatsoever. The last we talked, I wasn't sure what the weather was going to be like. As it turned out, it was fine, and we were able to make it here. It was dry all the way. It was sunny, and the traffic was not bad going either direction. If anything, there was a little bit heavier traffic coming south, coming from Dallas. But now we're in Frisco, and the convention is about to begin. I guess actually it has already. There was a lecture earlier today, I think at noon, that...
Yeah, Kylie Knight had lectured, and then we had one with David Charvet at 4 o'clock, which I missed. The other brothers were at 2:30, so I missed that one. But I'm in the dealer's room right now. Before it really gets busy, one of the people who I know is going to be very busy, I was one of his first customers in buying Double Cross. Here he is, my buddy, Diamond Jim. Hey, Diamond Jim.
Hey, Scott. How are y'all?
It's good to talk with you. Last time we visited on the podcast, we were at the castle.
That's right.
You happened to be in town, I think, doing a... some sort of a...
You were working it.
I was, and you were just in town doing something else.
Yeah, just doing some private shows.
Yeah. So, you're a dealer here, but this is your hood. I mean, this
I
is like... you're
15 minutes from here.
Yeah, how handy can that be?
I know, it's nuts. I'm still staying at the hotel, because I know I'll be up till 3 in the morning with all the guys.
Sure,
so, yeah.
Sure. Now, tell me about some of the new stuff that you got that... I know that a lot of the stuff that you've got, I mean, what about, like, I mean, the Bamboozler series, of course, is a favorite.
Yeah, that, I'm writing number 4, but it's not out yet.
When might that be out?
I'm still, like...
Maybe Christmas, or...
Not that soon.
Next
Maybe Christmas.
Christmas
next year.
Okay, 18. Okay, come to the TAOM and then
I have another Bamboozler project that's going to be out hopefully by the first of next year.
Which, can you tip that?
It's kind of secret right
now.
But I think everybody will want it.
It's a project.
It's a project.
It will be a book or a prop?
Not a book.
It's a prop or product.
It's a prop, yeah.
Okay. So new stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, so my new things are the Ominous deck. It's my version of the Omni deck, but with a real spider and real scorpion inside.
Okay. Embedded in plexiglass. So that way, when they pull their hands apart.
They see this. They see the creature inside, so they freak. Yeah. Then the kicker, what I do is, as I take it from them, I hand it to someone else. I go, doesn't that feel like a real deck? And I've swapped it for an Omni deck. So when I pull my hand away, now the creature's gone. So now it's the fear of the unknown. It's like, where hell is
go?
That thing?
It's no longer encased in
And if you want to, you could use the spider on the hand gag and get them again.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes just the fear of the unknown is better. Because I just walk away. I go, y'all have a good night. And leave them.
Now, I see you have not only a spider, but also a scorpion, which it seems like a spider.
It's funny. I think in the States, the spider gets the bigger reaction.
Yeah.
But I found overseas, the scorpion is my better seller.
That's interesting.
So. That makes sense. You're more likely to have a spider on your hand here than...
Then a scorpion, maybe in other countries.
You know,
maybe out in West Texas.
I'm a Cajun, we eat these.
Put some barbecue sauce on that.
There you go.
Yeah. So you got a lot of other cool stuff.
There
was this thing, I think, over here that was the, what is that, this, the board, what is that that I...
So this is called Consecutive Conundrum. It's a puzzle I had made out of wood, but it's something I saw in one of the Martin Gardner books.
Yeah.
He was a mentor of mine. He's the one that influenced me to write the Bamboozler books.
Okay. You'd met him a few times and gone to the gathering for the Gardner and that kind of thing?
I've never been to the gathering for Gardner, but I've been to his place in Norman, Oklahoma, you know, dozens of times. I'd go hang out with him and visit with him all the time.
What was he like?
Wonderful guy, very quiet, spoken, but...
Did you know Jerry Anders? Was he like Jerry at all, or...?
I didn't know Jerry Anders that well. But Martin, we would usually end up in the floor doing card tricks for one another for hours.
Mm-hmm.
But wonderful guy, and he's the one that... had me do my deal with Dover to redo my book, Pockets Full of Miracles, and it came out with Dover.
That was your first hardback book?
That was my first hardback book, and then he convinced me to go with Dover to do a softback
version. I just bought some. I just get a free poster, too, don't I?
Yes, yeah, if you want. You gotta say do you remember the magic words?
Simsalagim.
That's right.
That was so clever.
Is this the one where it shows the thing on your...
Yes,
phone
on the phone. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Boris.
Yes.
That's a great
tool.
Yeah, so you got to download the app. The app's $5, and then this is...
Oh, I have to get both.
Yes, and this is 15.
So. But you have the app, or I have to...
Just download it. Go to the app store and download it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got that also.
Let's see. What else
you were starting to say about this thing, about that was inspired by Gardner.
Yeah, so basically it's a number puzzle. There's 40,320 combinations, the way to arrange those 8 numbers.
Yeah.
But only one right solution, because no consecutive number can touch another.
So it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube in a way,
of thing. Yeah, okay. But it's very clever.
Is it a walk-around thing that you can actually use?
You could. Okay. I like to use it in that way, where if someone that wants to see one more thing, I say, see if you can figure out this puzzle. If you solve it, I'll come back and show you one more.
Yeah.
So even when I'm away, I'm still entertaining them. So.
Okay.
I'm carrying a couple of tricks that are not my own, but things that I use in my own repertoire.
Like what? What do you carry? What do you do?
Expansion is a brand new one, where it's a stretching hole effect, where the hole in the card stretches and it goes back to normal size again.
That's interesting. Okay.
Really cool looking. Hologram, one of my favorites. I do all the time walking around, where a stick that you put a sticker on, a signed card goes in the middle of the deck, and they visually see that card come to the top.
Yeah.
It looks like special effects.
Yeah.
And people scream when they see it. The key is something new, brand new, by Wayne Dobson. It's awesome. It's expensive, but really, really good.
Yep, $100.
It's a... borrow their ring and it penetrates the key, and then it links onto the key in a magical way.
Yeah.
and then it comes loose right in their own hands, the key and the ring.
Wow.
It's really great.
Wow.
Anyway,
lots of stuff.
Lots of new things.
That's great. Well, I'm glad that you were keeping busy.
Thank you.
So are you staying much in America? Are you still traveling around the world?
Last big tour overseas was last year, and I'm planning another Asian tour for early next year. Because right now, this time of year, I'm starting to get real busy here. So.
Exactly. So are you going to be also going on a lecture tour maybe in the U.S. sometime soon?
I plan
soon?
To do another East Coast tour in early November.
Of this year. Well, lucky for those people out there.
Thanks.
Well, listen, because you always have a lot of good stuff and a lot of really good ideas. I mean, that I could hear your lecture over and over because you always got new stuff that you're talking about. So I appreciate you being a buddy.
Thank you, yeah.
So thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the convention and
you
have a good
time. All right, you too. Thanks,
Scott. So from the dealer's room, that was Diamond Jim. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we're still around in the dealer's room, and we're over here then with one of the people who had given a lecture earlier today, not David Charvet, who's behind me. We'll talk to him a little bit later. We just missed his lecture, but also Kylie Knight. Hi there, Kylie.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. And so your lecture was today.
Yes.
I see that you're behind a booth with makeup. Was it about stage makeup?
It's about the magic of makeup and looking like a celebrity.
Well, kind of give me a little bit of the 60-second lecture tour there.
Sure. Well, I believe that's really important for your face because that's what your business is. You need to keep it looking good and having it look its best. Doesn't matter whether you do close-up, parlor, or stage magic. And understanding that if you're on stage, the lights are going to wash you out. So you need to add color and even out your skin tone. And before that even happens, take care of your skin with good skincare.
That is a good summary over there. That is pretty good. Because I was wondering, obviously, that there's a different kind of makeup that you would use during for close-up, which you would probably recommend, I assume, as well.
Yes.
When you're walking around, you know, having a little pancake on or something, maybe a little bit of a highlight or something.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's low light, a lot of times we're working cocktail parties. But still, I think that you probably have to have some makeup. But then also for stage. But we'll get to that in a minute. But what about for close-up? What would you recommend?
For the close-up, guys, I've been recommending the BB cream, which is basically a tinted moisturizer. So it's just going to add just a subtle color, nothing too heavy, just even out the skin tone and give some good moisture. And then for the guys that have a shine issue, get sweaty, I've got a great translucent
oily nose
powder.
Or something.
Yeah, just try and keep the shine off your face.
That's a good point.
So we'll add some translucent powder over the top and even some setting spray if you get really shiny.
Setting spray. That's interesting. Yeah, so you put the powder on, then the setting spray to keep that from starting to sweat off and drop.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then what about the stage? Obviously, there has to be different kinds of makeup for the stage, because, you know, with eyeliner and everything else you're going to be getting. So what do you recommend for that?
Well, like I told the guys, it depends on your skin tone and your skin type. With your skin type, if you got normal skin, dry or oily, there's different products for different skin tones. And then if you've got, I'm getting technical,
that's okay.
If you get yellow undertone, pink undertone, or neutral, and it's understanding all that, and then I can recommend different products for you. But
so it has the type of skin that you have or the type of light that you're going to have?
All of the above. I take that all into account to find the best makeup bundle for you. But I always recommend a primer under your foundation because it's going to give a barrier between your face and the makeup, and it's going to cover over those fine lines and give a more even application. It's going to help your makeup last longer and stay put.
Well, I know a lot of times that one of the things that they try to highlight on stage would be your eyes, because a lot of times that your eyes get lost in the sockets if the lights aren't hitting it right. So what do you do to highlight your eyes?
A good eyeliner.
That's pretty much all it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if some guys do wear mascara. I've talked to a few professionals, and they wear a little bit of mascara just to open up their eyes a little bit more. Sure.
You know, I had spent some time one time with Rick Walker, who, rest his soul, had died some years ago, but he would wear makeup every day. I mean, he was visiting his home, we went to the bathroom, he was showing me, here's what you put on, you know, here's a little bit of this and this, every day. You know, it just kind of makes you look like, you don't have to be out in the sun and get the bad rays of the sun and everything, but you would look like you're healthy because of that shine that you have from just the makeup.
It's the glow, and he looked like a celebrity every day,
didn't
he?
He did, every day.
Yes.
He did, absolutely.
And that was the key.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just for
performance, but, you know, guys should be thinking, myself included, you know, should be thinking about, you know, using that on more of a regular basis. I've got a beard now, which, you know, disguises my mouth,
good,
you know, so
you,
I can't, hey there. And Harry Allen, another dealer also.
Hey, hi, guys. I have no clue what that was, even. That's pretty crazy.
We talked on this when we were in Louisville. That's
right.
I had the little fuzzy thing on there.
Forgive
me.
That's okay. The fuzzy thing I wasn't used to seeing. That's what it was.
But gone are the days of that thick, greasy pancake makeup. You don't need to use that anymore. There's much better products that will give an even better job. I always say you kind of want to look as natural as possible. More you, just a better version of you.
That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, better version of you, and you're going to look more healthy and look like a celebrity. So you'll stand out. That'll give you that it factor, I think.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you know, when you see a celebrity, they've got that something, and you're not sure what it is, but that could be it.
Yeah, it's not just the haircut or the hairstyle or something.
Right.
They've got just a little bit of makeup or some glow about them. That's right.
Healthy,
and you can have that too. And how do they get hold of you to find out more information as far as buying some products? You have a website by chance?
I do have a website, mymusthavemakeup.com.
Mymusthavemakeup.com.
That's it.
Is there a hyphen between makeup, or is it just all one word?
All one word. mymusthavemakeup.com.
There you go. Well, good luck. Thank you very much, Kylie. I appreciate that a lot. Did you have a good turnout? I mean, it was kind of a, you know, the opening thing here for the day. Did they have many people in the lecture?
It did. Not as many. Some were busy, but that's understandable. But I've been getting some really good feedback and guys going, I never knew I needed that. So
now they do.
Now they do.
And for those of you who are at home and are not making it here, now you know you should also.
Thanks
very much. Okay. So the Magic Word, that's Kylie Knight, and this is Scotty Allen. All right, so here we are. The dealers are just closed, and we're getting ready to go into happy hour because that's part of what you get with the Embassy Suites, happy hour and the breakfast as well. But we missed a couple of lectures earlier today. We just spoke with Kylie Knight, and now we're speaking then with another one of the lecturers, Mr. David Charvet. Hi there, David.
Hi. Thank you, Scott. Good to be here.
And listen to that voice. There's such a resonance. I mean, did you ever work on the radio, do any radio work?
I've done radio and TV ads up in the Northwest for about the past 35 years.
That's been your profession then.
Well, part of my profession. I wear many hats, but that's
one of them
I've done for years.
But the top hat you wore a few years ago was amazing as Harry Blackstone Jr. Let's hear that voice.
Oh, what? Well, let's see. I'll step backstage, get another cage, another canary, and I'll do it again.
Doesn't that give you chills? That's amazing, that voice, yeah.
That's not actually how I sound most of the time, but I mean, I always say my mother sounded like that. Hello, darling, how are you? No, I'm kidding.
So preparing for that a couple of years ago when that was at Magic Live, you said that was a little bit terrifying?
It scared me to death.
Why?
Well, because it's a buzzsaw, for one thing, which is really dangerous.
Yes.
Number one, to give you the short version of this story, Stan Allen always tries to hide whatever's going to happen at Magic Live. It's no one knows until they get there.
Right.
So they contacted me in May, and I was with Mike Caveney and Bill Smith back at the Magic Collectors Weekend in Chicago. And we were riding the elevated train, to go to the White Sox game. We were at the convention, but we snuck out to watch baseball.
Yeah.
And so they both look at me and they say, Blackstone. And I said, what? And they said, Blackstone. And I said, okay. And they told me the whole story. They were going to do this show of all the different, not all the different versions, but a lot of different versions of Sawing a Woman in Half.
Right.
It was the whole show. It was the sawing story.
Right.
And they said it's either going to be great or it's going to be a flop, because how many times do you want to see a woman sawed in half in 90 minutes? Well, they had great acts, though, too. I mean, you had Pendragons. Exactly.
Mark and Ginger Kalen.
Yep. And, Greg Wilson doing the train sawing, and Kevin James with the half man.
Right.
It was great.
It was one of the highlights for me of all the conventions.
It was an amazing show, just the amount of the people who were on it. So they said they want me to do the Blackstone Buzzsaw, because I sounded like him and I look like him a little bit, so I said,
and the original Buzzsaw too, that was his.
The original Buzzsaw that was Harry's, which is now owned by a man named John Walton, who lives up in Washington State, not too far from me in Portland. So we figured this out in May, and I had a couple of months to rehearse, but I didn't have a buzzsaw. So in my house in Portland, I used my couch as the saw to block myself to figure out where I'm going to stand and do this. So my couch stood in for the buzzsaw. I didn't see the buzzsaw until the day before I actually did it. And actually, when it arrived from Bill Smith's shop, it fell off the truck backstage. So you kind of got to make sure things line up on the buzzsaw.
Well, yeah.
So that took
something a little...
Luckily, I had two of the... Well, th- four or five of the best assistants around. Well, I had Bill Smith who had done it for 10 years,
exactly.
Alan Bracken, who had done it for 15 years on the show, and then Melanie Kramer, who is, I always call her the assistant du jour for about every act in Las Vegas. She is fearless.
Yeah.
And to lay under that 36-inch buzzsaw blade that's going over you,
yeah.
It takes guts, and hopefully you don't get guts.
Yeah, you might lose them.
No, exactly. So anyway, we rehearsed it once and walked out and did it, and it was amazing. It's a one-time only, never-to-be-repeated event, and it
right.
was remarkable to me. It was amazing.
Wow.
One of the highlights of my life to do that.
Well, that was great. So back to the TAOM then over
sure.
here. As far as the lecture that you had given, what did you talk about today?
I talk about classics of magic. I love the classics. And I always tell people, classic magic's like classical music. You could have seen it before or heard it before, but if you hear it again or see it again, if it's well presented, it's great. And
yes.
it's timeless for a reason. And a lot of people have gone away from the classics only because, as magicians, we see a lot of people do them. We think, oh, that old die box.
Sure.
Everyone does it. No, they don't. I asked in the lecture, I had, 100 people there, and I said, how many of you own a die box? And about 80 hands went up. I said, how many of you do the die box? And about 2 hands went up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there are all these great tricks that are sitting in your drawers at home or
yeah,
your magic. And
they're
saying, yeah. And all you have to do is spruce them up, new presentation, a little bit of a twist. And modern audiences, they're new. They haven't seen them. I mean, the die box was invented in 1876.
Mm-hmm.
So here you got a trick that's that old, but you can still do it. And again, spin it a little bit differently, and people like it. I did other new tricks like the linking rings
yeah.
and the vanishing wand and the cards across. So things like that, that again, that I've put together in a booklet now.
Thank you.
My new lecture notes for you, my bribe to you today.
Thank you.
There you go. And
classic stand-up conjuring routine.
That is it. And that's my new lecture notes. And I'm going to enlarge them with more routines. So eventually it'll be a book.
So you're going to be available then for lecturing at other conventions?
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
it's, from the reaction, this first time I've done it was here, actually, at TOM. And
yeah.
the reaction was great. People like
Good.
It. Because, again, they haven't seen really the old stuff. And it's not old. It's new.
It is new, particularly to some people who have never seen it. You know?
You're right.
That's
kind
of what they say about television. If you're watching reruns, if you didn't see it the first time, it's new to you.
Well, it's like a joke. An old joke is it's only old if you've heard it before. It's new
right.
if you've never heard it before.
That's
it's
right.
the thing with these tricks.
I've got a book that I'm doing a review on from Magic Inc. I believe it's called The New Angle, which is about tapered decks or stripper decks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're saying something typically that magicians get started with. You get a stripper deck and you see how it's done, and it is so obvious to the public as well, the way that these things are shaved. They
right.
usually get thrown in your drawer and forget about it. Well, there are so many things you can do with it, and the way they can cut decks then now that are more professional and they're more subtle,
Right.
And things you can do that are miracles, and particularly if you handle it, cut it, shuffle them properly,
mm-hmm.
throw in a cold deck, you can really do miracles with
it. No, that's a linking rings I did today. I handed out every ring.
Mm-hmm.
Every ring. They have them all in their hands, and they're examining every ring, and then we put them together.
Yeah.
And so that's different. Again, and so I don't like to do things to fool magicians, because it's fine to fool magicians, but the public, again, if you can fool a magician, you can probably fool the public too. So there
right.
you go. Or
there
vice
you go.
Versa.
Or vice versa. That's true.
So there. Yeah.
Well, we need to sit down and have a longer chat at some later time, but I just wanted to kind of get a quick rundown and kind of see how things went for you so
it
far
today.
It
was great, and I'm glad to be back in Texas. So.
Thank you very much. Glad Wonderful. You're here then too.
Thank you.
Spend some more time with you later. Thanks a lot.
All
that
right,
was David Charvet for the Magic Word Podcast. That was David Charvet, as I said. This is Scotty out. You know who I am. See ya. All right, well, we are at happy hour, and we are getting happy with one of my best friends, one of the guys who used to sell Happy Meals, Mr. Dal Sanders. Hey, Dal.
How you doing? We're having a great time here at the Texas Association of Magicians.
In Frisco, Texas. Yes, we are. Kind of your home hood. You're not so far here in Dallas.
That's right. I'm like 15 minutes away from here. My home is. So.
How many of you have heard me speak with Dal in the past in different conventions and places where we have been? And not only is he past president of the national president of the Society of American Magicians, but he's also a member. Not only do I am I the president of the Hair Club for Men, I am a customer too. No,
hey, we don't talk about the hair, okay?
It's neither one of us. So, nevertheless, the reason I really wanted to chat with him now is because that. As we talked in the first part of this podcast about what's been going on in Houston, and you are all aware of that, one of the things that the Society of American Magicians has, and the IBM too, are different programs, so this way they can help those who are in need. Well, that can that fund can get hit pretty hard, and as a result, it needs to be replenished. And so that's exactly
Dow has been doing. And to that regard, or that end, I want you to tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, Thursday evening, I got a call from Christopher Weed, who owns Showtime Magic Products. Now, he's the guy who bought the Leffler tables, and he's making the Leffler tables after Joe Leffler died. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's been watching the television like everybody else has, and, I mean, he was practically in tears, and he said, is there any organization that you know of that can help magicians? I'd like to do something for magicians. I'd like to do a fundraiser for magicians. And I told him about the Magic Endowment Fund and the disaster relief program that they have, and I told him that we had just heard that because the devastation is so severe in Houston that it's going to hurt the monies that we have in the bank. It's going to hit us pretty hard. And they've been looking for donations. He said, okay, I'll call you back tomorrow morning. He called me back Friday morning. This morning, I guess. And I was on my way to work at one of the shelters, as a matter of fact, because a lot of the Houston people are here and are in shelters. So we've been visiting the shelters, trying to make the kids feel a little better about the situation they are. So I got back home, and he had put together a fundraiser with all these other magic suppliers. Just amazing things. Showtime Magic Products, his company, is giving a $500 gift certificate. Axtel Expressions, the puppet guy, he's got a $500 gift certificate. Brad Ross's It Factor Live, he's going to give full registration. That's almost $2,000 right there. Barry Mitchell Products, Tim Sonnefeld's Wonder Imagery, Mike Bent, Christopher Cool, Empower Sound, which is the Happy Amp people, Capital Convention, Kadabra, Wow Factor Studio, Kyle Perron, James Mutton's Zero to Book Solid program. The Society of American Magicians has donated registration for the Orlando Convention in 2018. Kadabra has donated a registration. All these different people have donated these registrations, and so he's having a fundraiser. You just go to showtimeproducts.com, mm-hmm. and you can click on $10, $20, whatever you want.
Like a crowdfunding?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And so for every $10, your name will be dropped in the hat for one of these prizes. Mm-hmm. So I made a video this afternoon. It's up. People are starting to respond to it, and all the proceeds are going to go to the Magic Endowment Fund to help the people that are hurt by this in Southeast Texas. And
beyond Houston, goes all the way Corpus Christi, Rockport,
that's right.
All the way over up into Louisiana. And mm-hmm. yes, right.
All the magicians in that area, and it's not just SAM member magicians.
Yeah.
This helps any magician, whether they're a member of the SAM or not. And allied artists, including clowns, jugglers, and people like that. So this is a great fundraiser, and it's a great way. You can either contact the Magic Endowment Fund and contribute directly, or if you want a chance to win some pretty cool prizes,
yeah.
go to
showtimemagic.com. Okay.
Yeah, and oops, and. And
now, where can they see the video? I'm going to post this on the website, so people who are listening to this and they tuned into it using iTunes or Stitcher or something else, just go to themagicwordpodcast.com and there'll be that video. But where can they find it?
They can find it at the Society of American Magicians Facebook fan page.
Okay.
Or you can go to my Facebook page. I shared it there, and just it's being shared a lot. In fact,
is it on like YouTube as well that I can kind of I can link it that way? So I may not be able to link it then.
I'll get you a link. Okay. I'll get you a link so you can
do that. So that way I can put it on there. I want to share it to more people because we need to have more people assisting with this very valiant and wonderful effort you're putting together.
The contest is going to go on, or the raffle or whatever you want to call it is going to go on until midnight Pacific time. On Monday, Labor Day.
Monday the 3rd.
Right, and the drawings will be done on the 4th, on Tuesday the 4th.
Okay, so those of you who are listening in real time, then you'll be able to go out there and enter. If you're listening to this after the convention, you're gonna miss out on that, but doesn't matter, we can still use your help.
Yes, you can still go to the Society of Magic, Society of American Magicians, that's magicsam.com. And there's a place you can contribute to the Magic Endowment Fund there.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Dow, very much for putting that together.
Thank you, Scotty.
Well, and thank all those other organizations and people who have donated their services and products as well for this very worthy cause. So there you go. And there you have it from Dow Sanders and also from Frisco. This is Scotty out.
12. So ended the first day of the convention. And I say first day because officially it was day one, although it, again, didn't begin until about noon on Friday, and had lots of activities going all the way through midnight, with the final lecture being by Christian and Catalina, and they were lecturing on their book of Magic and Profession, Then This Is the Book That For You. But also before that, they had given a good presentation, a good lecture, with some really solid mentalism in it as well. But I do want to say something just about the evening show. This was an opening night show, and it was emceed by the president of the organization, Frank Seltzer, and there were only two acts, and they were tremendous. That's all we really needed. We got to see a full act, really, by both of these individuals. Well, three, actually. There was Christian and Catalina, who did the first part of the show, and so they did about 45 minutes, and then Gregory Wilson came and did a 45-minute show, and it was great. I mean, the volunteers they had, they worked with them just perfectly. Their interaction with the audience was just top-notch, professional. A lot of times, particularly at the TAOM, you don't see opening night shows that are as good as what this was, but it was just hitting on all cylinders. It was an excellent show and a great way of kicking off the first day. I know we're going to have a lot of great things that are going to be coming up over the next few days, and I'm excited about going on for the next few days, and it's past midnight right now because I want to get this up so that way you guys can kind of enjoy hearing what all had happened here during this first day. And so again, I hope you will come along with me for the rest of the ride. And also, it's important that you are listening to this as well, because as Dal Sanders had just spoken about a moment ago, you get to hear what's going on not only right now fresh, but also because of the limited time it's available to get in with this drawing they're going to be having at the SAM or Magic Sam. I guess, what was it, Magic Products? Well, have to go back and listen to that. Don't remember exactly what. But anyhow, that's only going to be going through midnight this coming Monday. So hopefully you're listening to this in real time and get to enjoy that, and we'll donate and help the cause for Houston. So I think it's about time for me to put this together and upload it, and I hope that you enjoy and come along with me for the ride. And we want to thank the Great American Magic Company, purveyors of fine magic, for being a sponsor here on the Magic Word Podcast. And so, until tomorrow, with another brand new update from day two here in Frisco, Texas, this is Scotty out.